Blog Talk Radio.
Noble, welcoming you to the Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. So glad that you took some time out of your busy schedule to join me today. Thanking everyone for coming today, showing up in the chat room. We have an amazing program today. My special guest will be Annie Cyrus. She's an Iranian-American human rights activist, and she is going to educate us on the dangers of Sharia law in Islam pertaining to the rights of women. And we'll be discussing today Hillary Clinton. We're going to point out why she is deceptive, why she lies, and why she is unfit and unqualified to be president. Should be a very, very interesting, lively conversation. You definitely don't want to miss this program. Going to start off today, though, with something I really want to educate all of us on, and that is Bible prophecy. What has been happening in Turkey the last several weeks really lines up with a specific teaching of the Bible in Ezekiel 38 about an end-time coalition of nations that will invade Israel, our greatest ally, the one we should be supporting and standing behind. But nonetheless, I want to educate us on the world events, the happenings in the Middle East, the meltdown, everything that's going on. It relates very specifically to the overall plan of God. Specifically, this morning, I want to educate us on Ezekiel 38. You may ask, well, really, what is that about? I'm going to help you this morning. I want to start out by taking you to the 700 Club, Pat Robertson, who makes some observations about Erdogan's sudden rise to make this an Islamic state, his determination to be the dictator of Turkey, and how it relates to the freedoms, to the freedom of Christians, and to Bible prophecy. Let's listen to Pat right now on The Cross in the Desert.
Club, I told you what was going to happen because it's in the Bible. It's Ezekiel 38, that Turkey is going to be part of a coalition that is going to come in the latter days against Israel. It's going to join with Iran, by the way. It's going to be a coalition that's going to come against Israel in the latter days. And I knew that when Erdogan began doing what he was doing, that he was going to swing that country into a strong Islamic state that will be just like Iran. Well, That's what the president of Turkey is now continuing his crackdown after a recent failed coup. The coup, I think, was a put on. I don't think it was real. I think it was merely a feint, a ruse to let Erdogan grab power. He has exercised power against about 15,000 people over there. It's just a shocking shutdown of educators and media people and, of course, the military. So he will be an undisputed leader and swing that country into a strong Islamic state. Wendy.
Pat, the Turkish president has issued a new decree giving him more direct authority over the military. And now there are new dangers for Christians in Turkey as well. Dale Hurd has the story.
Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan is using the failed July 15th coup to reshape Turkey in his image. Some say it is a reboot of the old Muslim Ottoman Empire, a de facto dictatorship for the immensely popular leader. In what Amnesty International has labeled a brutal backlash against enemies real or imagined, Erdogan has detained over 15,000, arrested 8,000, and dismissed 60,000 civil servants. In a speech to his followers, Erdogan, sounding more like a sultan than the president of a democracy, said, "For one time only, I will be forgiving those who disrespected me and insulted me in any way, and will be withdrawing all charges against them." Some warn that Turkey is on its way to becoming an Islamic republic like Iran, and recent developments there put Christians at even greater risk. Protestants are already not allowed to build churches and must call them associations, and some were attacked after the coup attempt. Turkey, which once had 2 million Christians, now may have as few as 120,000. There are even new concerns that the ancient Byzantine church, the Hagia Sophia, will be turned into a mosque. America's Incirlik Air Base is also at risk from rising Islamism. At this protest outside the base, the leader accused the U.S. of the crime of attacking Muslim nations. Erdogan's crackdown after the coup attempt has created a breach in relations with Turkey's Western allies, who fear they are watching Turkey turn into a dictatorship. A defiant Erdogan said relations with the West will continue, but they have no place in our hearts. Dale Hurd, CBN News.
Thanks, Dale. Turkey was a secular democracy and had joined, it was called the weak man of Europe. And then after World War I, they joined in the coalition with the European nations. And as I say, was a flourishing democracy. Now they are turning into an Islamic dictatorship, but it's all in the Bible. Now, this is the land, when there was the churches of Asia, the various churches of Asia that's written about in the book of Revelation. It's all in Turkey. Turkey is Asia, Asia Minor, and all those churches of Asia were all in Turkey. And Turkey was the home of Christianity, a strong, strong Christian church. Now they're in danger of being destroyed and persecuted, and, that's too bad.
That's Pat Robertson of the 700 Club, CBN News, with some great insight on what's going on in Turkey. Remember, Iran at one time was a secular type of democracy, and the mullahs became enraged. They felt it should be more Islamic, and that was the pathway that was paved for Khomeini. And so this is the same thing that is happening in Turkey. Turkey at one time was more secular, more democratic, and Erdogan has seized the reins to make it into more of a dictatorship as things are happening there. Well, I gave you just a little taste of what the Bible says about Turkey and the other nations. Let's get more specific. Let's listen to what Jimmy DeYoung, prophecy expert on the John Ankerberg Show, has to say about this amazing passage, Ezekiel 38, and how this pertains to Turkey.
But we want to talk about the events that are taking place in the Middle East, and especially apply this to biblical prophecy. And what in the last few weeks we've been talking about the fantastic prediction of Ezekiel 38, the prophet who lived 600 years before Jesus Christ, and God gave him revelation about a coalition of nations that would come against the Jewish state in the last days. And it specifically says in the latter days, the last days. And what we're looking at is, are we getting close to those events today? We talked about Iran, Russia, Turkey, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Sudan, Ethiopia, Somalia, Syria, and Egypt. People want to know, biblically, where do we get that, Jimmy?
Well, when you go to the book of Ezekiel chapter 38, God used the Holy Spirit to breathe into this prophet a group of nations that would align themselves in the last days, forming a coalition to come against the Jewish state of Israel. In chapter 38, verse 2, we see Gog, that would be the personality, in the land of Magog, that would be modern-day Russia. According to biblical scholarship, historical, geographical information that can be brought to the table at any moment we need it. And then we have Meshech, Tubal, and that's in verse 2. In verse 6, Gomer and Togarma. And when you go back and look at Asia Minor back in biblical times, the times of Peter and Paul when they were reaching the Gentile world, Turkey was divided into four parts, or Asia Minor. We know it as Turkey today, Meshech, Tubal, Gomer, and Togarma. So that would be what we know as modern-day Turkey. Come to verse 5, we read about Persia, and until 1935-36, this was the name of the country that we know today as Iran. They still speak the Persian language, but in addition to that, you'd have to add Afghanistan and Pakistan. It mentions Ethiopia, or Kush in some translations. That would be Ethiopia, Somalia, Sudan. And we know that by studying the geographical locations that these sons of, for example, Kush and Ham established these nations as they were following God's directive. That's found over in Genesis chapter 10 and verses 6 and following. Ethiopia, Somalia, Sudan would be Ethiopia. And then we have Put or Libya, which is modern day Libya. Now that forms most of the nations. You go back to Daniel chapter 11, verses 40 and following. You have the king of the north, which would be modern day Syria, the king of the south, modern day Egypt. Go over to the book of Psalm, chapter 83. In verse 6, it mentions the Ishmaelites. In verse 7, it mentions Tyre. The Ishmaelites would be Saudi Arabia today, and Tyre would be modern-day Lebanon.
Well, I understand that goes by a little too fast, but trust me on this. Ezekiel 38, thousands of years ago, prophesied by the Holy Spirit, this coalition of nations, a coalition of nations that would attack to destroy Israel, our only hope of democracy in the Middle East, the hatred, the anti-Semitism of these nations against Israel. It is an age-old war that has been going on for thousands of years. And that's why we need to support and stand with our greatest allies, the Jewish state of Israel. Turkey indeed poses a danger to the nations because of Erdogan. Let's listen to more from prophecy expert Jimmy DeYoung.
He's been providing the money.
He's been providing the money. He's been providing the munitions. He's been providing the way for those munitions to get there from Iran through Turkey to the Sinai and then through the tunnels into the area of the Gaza Strip there. He came out against Israel in the relationship. The Prime Minister of Israel has made the statement that Hamas has their foreign headquarters in Turkey itself. In addition to that, he's been allowing these radical Islamists out of Europe, out of the United States, to come to the Turkish-Syrian border, cross over into Syria, join the fighting forces against Bashar Assad. They then have become a part of this Islamic State, recruited by al-Baghdadi. So that's a major position.
Not only has he had an open door for people across the world going through Turkey into Syria, but it also works the opposite way. The CIA says there's over 1,000 people that actually have passports that can get them into Europe or into America. They can go right back out through Turkey as well.
And be a major danger to the European continent and to the United States of America. He controls the water, basically, for the entire Middle East because the River Euphrates flows through his nation of Turkey, flowing then into Syria and Iraq and all the other countries going into the Persian Gulf. Well, he has 21 dams on this Euphrates River, and he could turn it off. He did several years ago, and the father of Bashar Assad, Hafez al-Assad, was livid. Saddam Hussein was in power in Iraq at that time, was livid about it. So he has a major position as it relates. Now, you said he's in NATO. That is correct. He wants to join the European Union. European Union is holding him at arm's length because they believe this would be the doorway bringing Islam into Europe.
And there you heard Jimmy DeYoung on the John Ankerberg Show outlining the danger Erdogan poses here in the Middle East, especially with his rise to dictatorial powers, overthrowing this coup, which many believe he instigated just to gain more power and more world attention. And just recently, he's cracked down on arresting judges, military men, and more journalists. Let's listen to this special report on the crackdown after the coup.
As part of a large-scale crackdown on suspected supporters of U.S.-based Muslim cleric Fethullah Gulen, Turkey ordered another 47 journalists detained on Wednesday. Gulen is accused by Ankara of masterminding a failed military coup. Since the July 15th-16th coup, which was staged by a faction within the military, Turkey has suspended, detained, or placed under investigation more than 60,000 soldiers, judges, teachers, journalists, and others suspected of ties to Gulen's movement. On Wednesday, Turkey's Army General Staff put the number of soldiers belonging to the Gulen network who took part in the coup attempt at 8,651. Broadcaster NTV reported that is roughly about 1.5% of the armed forces. Gulen has denied any involvement in the failed coup.
Well, one final note on this before we move on. I encourage you to get into God's Word, especially the prophecies that relate to what is going to happen in the near future. I realize this is a debated, controversial subject, but I've been trying to give you good, solid, biblical reasons for why we see what's happening in the Middle East, that it is tied into biblical prophecy. I encourage you, most importantly, to pray for the Christians in Turkey, to pray for the Iranian refugees in Turkey that are in asylum waiting for a new country to go to. They need our constant prayers. We need to speak out for them. And so it is a very volatile, difficult situation that requires a lot of praying Christians on their side as we watch the events continue to unfold in Turkey. I want to move along right now as I wait for Annie, my guest, in the next 10 minutes. I want to talk about what we see in the media today is clearly biased. We hear a lot about Trump making so many ridiculous statements or saying something off the cuff and insulting people. And what I would say to that is because you're hearing all about Donald Trump and very little about Hillary, which needs to be exposed, that there is a solid bias in the media. I would say it this way, that the media is in bed with Hillary, and especially with the incident of the leaked emails during the Democratic convention, which clearly showed how Hillary and the DNC were stacked up against Bernie Sanders. And it was so clearly obvious that she had a role to play in the things that happened to Bernie Sanders, that basically this election has been rigged. I want you to hear, though, some more statistics about how these leaked emails confirm the corruption that already exists in the liberal media. Let's listen.
Gordon, some conservative critics are saying, "We told you so." They argue the emails are proof the Democrats often have a tight relationship with the liberal media, while keeping the conservative media at arm's length. Heather Sells has the story.
Thanks to WikiLeaks, close to 20,000 emails from Democratic Party officials are now out and open to the public. These emails reveal that not only did Democratic Party officials favor Hillary Clinton over Bernie Sanders, they also show the extent to which party officials collude with the mainstream media.
We have maintained for years that the press was an offshoot of the DNC. And that was kind of a rhetorical statement, but it turns out it's true.
Brent Bazell with the conservative media watchdog group MRC says the emails confirm what his organization has understood.
There has been an ongoing active participation between the supposedly objective neutral press and the Democratic National Committee.
The emails show that the Democratic National Committee often ignored requests from conservative-leaning media while working with other more liberal outlets. The Daily Signal, published by the Heritage Foundation, pointed out another email from the DNC Deputy Communications Director saying he could send out an alert to state parties not to respond to a request from the Washington Examiner because, quote, the Examiner is a right-wing rag. And the DNC didn't respond to a Fox News reporter who wanted a response on a Donald Trump statement on Bill Clinton's affairs. Instead, the DNC official called the reporter a crude name and said he didn't have an emoji for a profane response. One leak shows a political reporter asking DNC officials to review his piece on Hillary Clinton before it was published. After the leak, the reporter admitted he made a mistake.
People are only voting for Donald Trump. Most of his supporters are only voting for him because he's a white guy.
The MRC is running taxi ads and billboards in Philadelphia this week, hoping to draw attention to what the leaks show, an often cozy relationship between the mainstream media and the Democratic Party. Heather Sell, CBN News.
It really doesn't come as a shock or surprise. That's why I'm thankful for Fox News that is fair and balanced, presents equally both sides. And if it wouldn't be for the Fox News, we would be surrounded and suffocated by liberal lies constantly without any refutation. And I thought it was very interesting when these emails came out right before the Democratic National Convention. Donald Trump had a few choice words to say. Let's listen.
What do I have to get involved with Putin for? I have nothing to do with Putin. I've never spoken to him. I don't know anything about him other than he will respect me. He doesn't respect our president. And if it is Russia, which is probably not, nobody knows who it is, but if it is Russia, it's really bad for a different reason, because it shows how little respect they have for our country when they would hack into a major party and get everything. But it would be interesting to see. I will tell you this. Russia, if you're listening, I hope you're able to find the 30,000 emails that are missing. I think you will probably be rewarded mightily by our press. Let's see if that happens. That'll be next. Yes, sir.
I'm not the first to point out that it set a trap that the Clinton campaign fell right into. In that...
I thought that was very interesting that Russia probably does have those missing emails that Hillary wants to forget all about. And every time, every single time she's interviewed, she denies, denies, denies. And that was the theme of Hillary's America. One of the tactics of the left is deny, deny, and deny some more. And so if you wanted to sum up this convention, and Annie and I are going to talk at length about this convention, but Tommy Lauren from The Blaze had some interesting things to say wrapping up about this DNC convention, which is a convention of so much feelings and singing Kumbaya with the terrorists and not mentioning much about ISIS or radical Islam. But let's have some final thoughts by Tommy Lauren on Hillary and the DNC.
Welcome back for Final Thoughts. Folks, it comes down to this. It comes down to two choices, and if you think you have other options, you're fooling yourself. It's Hillary or Trump, so now is the time to make your choice. Admittedly, Donald Trump is not perfect. Duh, we know that. But the time has come to dig deep and make a decision, or as Ted Cruz called it, vote your conscience. To the Republicans, I ask you this. Why do you hate Donald Trump so much? Really? Think about it, because it comes down to the man who tweets mean things and the woman who lies, 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 lies. The man who said Mexican judge and the woman who invited Michael Brown's mom to speak at the DNC. If you think there's a war on cops now, wait till the convention in Philly wraps up. The man whose companies employ more female executives than males, or the woman who paid her female interns less and has a long, long history of shaming, silencing, and blackmailing Bill's side projects. Think about it. The man who wants to take care of our veterans and defeat radical Islamic terror, and the woman who believes climate change is our biggest threat. The man who wants to make America great again, and the woman who wants to enrich and empower herself. Are you with her? My next question is for the Democrats. Guys, we might disagree on everything under the sun, but even those on the left have to see a problem with this. Sunday, CBS aired the first joint interview with Hillary and her running mate, Senator Kaine. It amounted to essentially a 60-minute campaign ad for Clinton, courtesy of CBS, shocker, except they didn't air all of it. Here's what you didn't see on the airwaves.
Did you know anything about any of that?
No, and I didn't know anything about it, and I haven't read any of those.
They seem to be working against Bernie Sanders, their fellow Democrat.
Again, I don't know anything. I don't know anything about these emails. I haven't followed it.
Do you notice a pattern? Hillary is caught up in scandal after scandal and never seems to recall the details. She never seems to know anything about it. When she's asked, which is rare, she dodges it, and the mainstream media lets her get away with it. She has not held a press conference in well over 200 days. Why do you think that is? Maybe because she will only answer questions that's pre-recorded, pre-arranged, pre-planned, and pre-written. Questions from people favorable to her and her power quest. She and the DNC are screwing you. Democrats, that means you too. And you're still with her? Are you sure? I'll leave you with those final thoughts. From Dallas, good night, and take care.
Well, thank you, Tommy Lauren from The Blaze, for those insightful words. Yes, it's called that sudden disease. I call it sudden loss of memory when confronted about the facts. Now, if you are going to believe that Hillary knew nothing about those emails, that it was just one big shock and surprise, then you are biting the forbidden fruit and drinking the laced Kool-Aid, because you know she knew everything about it. But it's time to deny, to deny, to deny. Look, you need to go see Hillary's America. I think it's one of the best documented films in history. In fact, it has soared in the box office in the last couple of weeks. And Dinesh D'Souza has arrayed unrefutable data on the DNC, on the Democratic Party, that history shows the core of them is racism. The very thing they charge Republicans with and they try to use smear tactics against, they themselves are guilty of it. They have a long, jaded history of hypocrisy and racism, and it goes right to the core of everything that you and I know about them, but they have used the bullying tactic of accusing Republicans and conservatives with years of things that they themselves are guilty of. So, listen, you have a Saturday night free. You have a little extra money because I know it's expensive. Take your wife out. Take your husband out, if you will, and go see Hillary's America, because it is a movie that will prepare you and educate you. And, in fact, the book is filled with the documentation. You can go and look up everything that is said, but let me tell you what. You will not be able to refute it. And the reason I say that is because this is what I do. I do my best to research and back up everything I say, because I know there's a lot of stuff out on the internet that's untrue, that's fallacious, that's misleading. We would have to know that, and we would be naive not to know that. But this is good stuff, as we say. Dinesh has done his homework. That time he spent in prison, he was thinking all about his latest documentary. And by the way, you know why he was there. He was put there to be silenced. And a little slap on the wrist, no. They didn't like 2016. And they don't like anything he does, because he is confronting the liberal left. And, you know, you can't do that very easily here, because they will find a way to stop you. Now, of course, the latest is about Clinton. So it will be interesting to see exactly what's going to happen to Dinesh now. I'm sure he has his back and he knows what's going to happen. But this movie, if you riveted to the screen the whole time there. I know Becky and I were sitting there, we're having dinner, it's a fork and screen event, and we just sat there and go, wow, so well done. And I don't say that about every movie, but Dinesh D'Souza has a good way of putting together documentaries that will educate you, inform you, and help you make the right decision when it comes to voting. And I encourage you to go see it, because it really helped me to see some things that I was not aware of. He has a way with words, and that's the reason why it is the number one documentary out there. It is doing quite well, and it should be. It should be a wake-up call. My question is, why has it taken so long for this truth to come out? Why has it taken so long for this evidence to come to film? Well, film has an amazing way of emotionally stirring you. But trust me on this. The documentation is there. It is a movie that you must see. Because let's face it, this election coming up in November, in my opinion and in the opinion of many others, is one of the most crucial elections of all time. What's at stake is our freedom. What's at stake is Supreme Court nominations. We have too much liberalism on our Supreme Court, and if Hillary becomes president, God forbid, if she does, there goes two conservative nominees that we need on this bench to balance things out. And so our country's at stake. And I'm not a conspiratorialist, but that's how important this election is. There is nothing that is more important than this November that we go out and vote, that we honestly take the time to say, I love my country, I love my freedoms, and I need to do something about those freedoms. Too often, voter turnout is not too strong, but it needs to be. I want to welcome right now my good Iranian-American friend, Annie Cyrus, to the Cross in the Desert. And good morning from California, dear Annie Cyrus. Welcome to the Cross in the Desert.
Good morning, Randy. How are you doing?
Well, I'm pumped and excited about our subject today, and I'm so glad to have you as a guest. I want to tell our audience a little bit about you. You are an Iranian-American human rights activist. You educate us on the dangers of Islam and Sharia law, and that you spend a lot of time on your website, Live Up to Freedom, educating us in articles and videos. You are the producer of the Glassoff Gang. You are a busy lady. You are a lady that needs to be heard today, and I'm so very glad that you're my guest.
I am very excited, and thank you so much for having me back on, Randy.
It is my pleasure. You know, there is so much for us to talk about, and I want our listeners to hear what you have to say, because what you have to say is so important, because what is happening in our country today is frightening. When you lived in Iran, you were surrounded with a culture that stopped your right to speak and to believe. And as an Iranian American, you are seeing so much of the same things happening in our country with what's going on with this administration, with the upcoming election. I'm sure this is something that is stirring in your soul and that you are trying to warn people of what danger lies ahead.
Absolutely. Not only I see, actually, aside the fact that the government and administration and the election and everything is scaring me really bad, because I'm looking, it feels like a deja vu what I'm looking at. Our own people are scaring me, Randy. It's like literally they have decided to close their ears, close their eyes, and just go with the flow, no matter what are the consequences. As you said, all I do is try to bring articles, videos with Glassoff Gang, with myself, the unknown, random videos, radio interviews, all that to bring information to people. And then on the other hand, I look and I see everybody so busy with little spoiled matters of their own life that they don't realize what's hitting them. They are completely blind to it all.
And that's why the Glassoff Gang, your website, Live Up to Freedom, presents and provides the right alternative to the media today, which is so drunk with liberalism and so much in bed with Hillary Clinton. I'm thankful that you have a website that says, look, this is what the media is not telling you.
Exactly. I think starting 2 weeks ago, it went beyond being in bed with Hillary. I saw every time I want to start with this. The entire DNC was just horrible. I bared with it. I don't know how I achieved it, but I managed to watch every day. And day after day, I just realized that this is not an actual American convention. This isn't. There is not a single talk of America. There is not a single American standing there defending America the way I'm used to it. And I've been here only for 14 years. Uh-huh. I could not watch it. I was like, it's like everybody's Hillary. You know what I mean? It's not even that they're in bed with her anymore. It's like everybody's being controlled. Their mind is, it's like Hillary's sitting behind a computer and just controlling every channel, every person's mind. And that's terrifying to me.
You know, and you mentioned something very important there about how people are so mesmerized by her. You notice the first two nights, no American flags. There was a Palestinian flag, but you didn't see any American flags. And I think when people started to speak up, they conveniently had the flag. During the convention, very little mention of ISIS or radical Islam. People are being lulled to sleep.
And that's exactly where the deja vu comes in. In Islamic Republic of Iran, every Friday when they have the Friday prayer, you see the Syrian flag and Palestinian flag fly way above the Iranian flag. That's exactly what I mean by saying deja vu. I looked and I'm like, look, every person who's giving a testimony is non-American. Literally, they call themselves an undocumented migrant. And I'm like, wait, where did Hillary even get them? If they're undocumented, how were they traced by Hillary? Doesn't that in a way mean Hillary already know of all the undocumented migrants and she just doesn't do anything about it? And that on its own is adding to her fame. Americans are saying, that's a good thing. That means she's not a racist. No, people, this has nothing to do with being a racist. It has everything to do with not caring for America as we know it.
Exactly, exactly. Now, you're familiar with what came out right before the convention about these WikiLeaks, about the DNC emails that clearly showed how Hillary had manipulated this entire election and basically was plotting against Bernie Sanders in so many ways so that this is a rigged election, which, Annie, is so much like the election back in Iran in 2009 when Ahmadinejad resumed the presidency and people revolted because it was a rigged election. But you noticed no one's revolting here. The liberals don't care about the emails. They believe anything this woman says.
Well, that's exactly where I go to being a spoiled. I heard about the leak emails, and I started reading about it and Googling and going deeper and deeper. And then I went to, like, Twitter or Facebook or any – unfortunately, nowadays, everything is social media, as you know. I went in there. I'm like, nobody's talking about it. Nobody's making a big deal out of it. But on the other hand, something like Black Lives Matter starts, and it's exploding the social media. And nobody's realizing this is a sidetrack. They are creating this to distract everyone from what's really happening, and that is actually the Islamization of our country. Hillary Clinton is without a doubt one of the most Sharia-loving people in this country. She has no problem bringing Sharia here because the money that comes with it is just, it's not possible for someone like Hillary to say no to that much money. What she doesn't realize is she's going to be one of the victims herself because she's a woman. And under Sharia, as a woman, you just don't have a voice. As soon as Sharia's here, she's out. She doesn't care because all she cares for, in my opinion, the only thing Hillary cares for is money.
Oh,
she
yeah.
will get
exactly
rid of
right.
anything to get more money in her own pocket.
Yes, and that's part of the movie Hillary's America, which I encourage my listeners to go watch. You mentioned money. It's a big business. Mr. Khan, the speech by Mr. Khan, the Muslim couple, has made the headlines, but when you investigate Mr. Khan's background, speaking of money, he is a very, very rich immigration lawyer. He has ties to the Hillary Clinton Foundation, if you will, or the Clinton Foundation. He makes a lot of money off of getting people visas, so it makes sense why he spoke at this convention.
However, nobody questioned when he talked. From A to Z, from the moment he stepped up until the moment he steps down that stage, everything he said was either a lie or irrelevant. And people were getting so excited and worked up over this speech. I'm like, what are you all excited about? Did you even listen to what he was saying? Because I was. Word by word, I'm like, what is he talking about? First of all, he's barely making a true reading off of his speech. I would like to go to him and say, can you tell me? Because I would proudly stand here and say, my English may not be perfect, but in a way I can grab any book and read from first page to the last page without having problem pronouncing him. Can you tell me how did you read our Constitution and understood the entire thing when you can't even get through your own speech? Nobody, exactly. Nobody even thought of that part. It's like, wait a minute. What he's holding in his hand is not a basic English 101. It's a complicated language of understanding laws and regulations. But the point was, because he was attacking Donald J. Trump, everybody's happy. And this is where I go with people are so busy with their own little petty daily things, they don't look at the bigger picture. Is Donald Trump blunt? Yes. And I love that about him, anyways, because that tells me again, he's not a liar. He's telling it as it is, and we may not love everything he says. It might sound bitter, but guess what? At least for once, somebody is standing there telling me what he's going to do, and I will respect him for that.
Exactly. You know what, Annie, it just occurred to me, all of this accusations against Donald Trump, it's amazing. He's been in the public spotlight for the last 30, 35 years, and now all of a sudden, because he's running for president, all of a sudden he's become a racist. How is it for 30 years we never heard the media say a word about it until now? Interesting.
Well, because this is the first time he is going against Hillary Clinton on presidential candidate. And this is how Hillary, the entire Clinton family, that's how they play. They play dirty. They don't try to prove themselves. They don't try to show who they are. They try to drag you down. That's just the way they operate. And that's where I get really frustrated with people not understanding. Look at the history of Clinton. Look at the history of Hillary. You can't just close your eyes and say everything she did. It's okay. The number one rule of humanity is to be a human and look at her history. Every chance she had to break the law of humanity, she went for it and broke it. From the moment she was a lawyer and got a 40-something-year-old rapist off, all the way to Benghazi in the email scandals. And we want to sit here and judge Donald J. Trump? That is the wrong thing to do. Again, I repeat, he's not the perfect man. But at the moment, I personally rather trust him with my life than Hillary Clinton.
Yes,
especially
I agree with you.
Especially because when the convention...
Go ahead. Go ahead.
When the Republican convention started, I obviously watched that one too. At least I could make sense out of everything. At least the testimonies were related. The speeches were related to the issues of America. On the other hand, the Democratic convention starts, and everything is about foreigners. Like, wait a minute, I'm a foreigner myself. I came to this country as an immigrant, documented legal immigrant. However, why did I come here? Because I wanted to come and live as an American. You're standing there and telling me we should all bend over and just care for those who came in 17, 15, 12 years ago. I never even bothered to become a legal immigrant. Since when our convention, our presidential candidates are going to care about that more than us as Americans? And I can't grasp the idea of why are Americans so okay with this?
When you see the terrorist attacks, you see the, over in the different countries in Europe, they are raping and killing people, and yet we want to welcome them in unvetted without any proof that they aren't part of ISIS because they will sneak them in. One thing I wanted to jump off on, Annie, you are a voice for suffering women. You speak out for suffering women all over the world in Iran. Hillary Clinton claims to be a voice for women, and her voice is silent for all suffering women, and yet she wants to be president. She lies, she deceives, and the Clinton Foundation has amassed a fortune from the United Arab Emirates, from Iran, from Saudi Arabia. They've taken hush money to not say a word about the way women are treated in these countries.
I am so glad you mentioned that. As you know, tonight, which is Thursday, the unknown will be coming out. And I really invite all your listeners and also yourself to watch that episode. I talked about a very special person to me and you. I talked about Rehane, and I actually called out Hillary and said, you tell me you're a feminist? You push for an Iran deal. I want to know, why is it that you have never, ever talked about Rehane and many more like Rehane in Iran as a feminist? You took the money from Islamic Republic of Iran. You made sure they end up with $400 million but you have never stood up for a single Iranian woman who's suffering. So stop calling yourself a feminist.
Well, as you mentioned, it's all about power. It's all about wealth. And you mentioned $400 million. We have now set a precedent, Annie, that all countries in the world can say, okay, let's hold some Americans hostage and let's, you know, the government's going to pay us off. $400 million to Iran, it is disgusting because that $400 million will be used primarily for terrorism and primarily for Hezbollah and primarily for arms against Israel. And this administration, Hillary and Obama, $400 million. This is out just unbelievable.
Exactly. And here are two questions. Number one, I promise you, this $400 million had nothing to do with hostages. He did not care. Obama did not do this because he cared for the hostages. I promise you that.
No.
From the beginning of Obama time, I had a suit there and I said, he is a practicing Muslim and he's not here to make America great. He's here to open the doors for his Muslim brothers. And he has to make sure. Look at how much he has been trying more and more and more danger. If it was up to him, he would attack Israel himself. So he needs to make sure to find the excuse to get that money to Islamic Republic of Iran's regime. I don't buy it for a second. This was a ransom money. Not for a second. I even said it on my Twitter last night. I'm like, stop saying this is a ransom because it isn't. This is a planned transaction. It was planned, and this is all just a little charade going on. Now, the second question is, where is the outrage? There are Americans. Why are they not standing in front of White House demanding answers about this action? We have become so soft, so naive, that we can't even protect ourselves anymore.
Yes, you just follow the trail of money. You know where it's going to go, and you understand that quite well. This whole nuclear deal is a facade because it did nothing about the human rights in Iran. And just 2 days ago, Annie, over 20 Sunni political prisoners were executed. There, where was the outrage from our government about that? No, no, they're more interested in money than lives.
Of course they are. And guess what? Out of that 20-something people who were executed, at least 12 of them were not political prisoners. They were not preaching Sunni Islam. They were just talking against the regime. Here's one thing people need to realize. Don't believe everything you hear about the people who are being killed in Iran, because the Islamic Republic of Iran has the best hands in actually framing you for different. Nobody asked for proof. I do. You've noticed on Twitter, I'm constantly asking to show us proof that this is their crime. They kill people under the name of murder and rape. There is no rape law in Iran. But they hang people every day saying they were rapists. Someone like me will question them because I know there is no crime as rape. So they're not rapists. You're killing them for other reasons. But people in the West, as you said, government's not asking questions. They're not demanding any kind of proof. Oh, they kill them. They're rapists. And then on the other hand, you hand them $400 million where you know, everybody knows, $7,000 is going to each Palestinian family who lost their father or son in killing a 10 of Israeli people. $7,000 per family. This is where that $400 million is going, people. Islamic Republic of Iran's regime is handing cash money to Palestinian people to motivate more people to go and kill Israeli people. So in a way, our government is financing the killing of Israelis. This is not a conspiracy. This is all over documented online. You can see Islamic Republic of Iran released a press saying we are going to report them. They started filming every step when they went in and handed them the cash.
As I'm sitting here listening to you explain that, I'm agreeing with what you're saying because I have heard the same thing too, how they pay them to go kill. And then on top of it, these poor families have no way to see the bodies of those hanged. They were buried, according to those in the prison. They bury them without any visitation from any of the families. Now think about this, Annie, and I'm sure you well know this, how absolutely vital this election is this November. We have a government that is giving money to funnel terrorism all over the world under the guise of ransom. We have a government that covers up the very actions they take each day in planning to have an attack on Israel through Hezbollah and all the terrorists in the world. We have a government that wants to welcome hundreds of thousands of more Syrians in. Those Syrians are infiltrated by ISIS. We have a government that is trying to destroy our freedoms. Now, how important, how vital is this election this November?
This is the last, as I say it, this is our last hope. If we do not get out there, if we do not vote for Donald J. Trump, we might as well just put our guns down, zip our lips, and learn how to live under oppression. Simple as that. This is what's going to happen. If Hillary gets in the office, we will not have such a thing as the Great America any longer. She's going to come after our gun. Mm-hmm. She's going to come after our freedom of speech. She's going to come after everything she can to stop us from defending herself. And that's when Sharia is going to hit us. America will start becoming an Islamic country. I know people are going to go really upset for me saying this, but it happened to my country. Iran went from a mini America in Middle East into Islamic Republic of Iran today, one of the strongest supporters of terrorism in the planet.
Yes, this is not about conspiracy. You see it, I see it, many others see it. The advisor to Obama, Valerie Jarrett, who herself is an Iranian, at one time said that she envisions one day America becoming Islamic. This is a statement on record. They try to cover up and deny it, but she made reference to America becoming more Islamic, and then, of course, it was all played down. This is our president who surrounds himself with the Muslim Brotherhood, who surrounds himself with Muslims, all in the name of political correctness. And so you're absolutely right. It's not conspiracy theories. It's really waking up to what's happening all around us.
Exactly. And here's my biggest – okay. Randy, for last month and half of my day is being completely busy with nothing but division. Even a small, you know, I'm not a big, huge public figure who's, you know, having millions of people listen to me. Just because I'm starting to make my voice to be heard, I am under so much attack from American people, and normal American people are attacking me daily by accusation like I'm a con artist, I'm a liar, I have ties to ISIS. I'm like, wait, why are you doing this? After years and years, finally, and it's not about me bragging, it's about me just being frustrated. One person, a young person from Iran, finally decided to put her own life in danger to come out and warn you, and all you care about is to shut her up so you can further your own agenda with Hillary and on and on and on. We, the people, are extremely divided. Some days I literally lose hope, Randy. I wake up completely hopeless. Like, what's the point of me even doing this anymore? Not only people are not going to listen, they're coming after me. I was always worried that the Islamic Republic of Iran is going to come after me and get me. Today I'm worried that leftists and Americans are going to come and get me. This is a sad day for us as Americans.
I sit here and I'm thinking about what you just said. And I see such a love and a passion you have for our country, even more so than many Americans who have lived here. And you are someone that came from Iran. You left an abusive marriage. You were trapped. You were in a situation where you had no hope, and you've come and to America to find hope. And now you're in a battle for our freedoms. It's very, very gratifying to see an Iranian American like yourself that is unafraid to speak out, and yet you're saying to yourself, I thought I left Iran. I thought I left Iran for real freedom, and now you're looking at what's happening in our culture, and it's almost like you're saying, I feel like I'm back in Iran. And so the fight for our freedoms, Annie, is so very important. We the people, exactly right, power to the people. The Constitution is our Declaration of Freedom, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, all of these things, our founding fathers have given their lives for our freedoms, and we need to stand up like you and be unafraid and unashamed to call this land still America.
Amen. I cannot wait for the day when we basically realize that this is beyond me, this is bigger than me and anyone. This is America. We need to save America or it's gone. Dinesh D'Souza made the movie, and I actually had the pleasure of talking to him face to face. We had him on the Grazov Gang, and when he was telling me that, listen, this is the ending days for America. If people don't realize who Hillary Clinton is, we are going to see America fade away. And I looked at him and I said, what do you think is the solution? He said, there's only one solution. We need to remember how to unite again.
Mm-hmm.
Are we? No. We need to unite. We need to remember what's important, and that is our freedom. And forget about us, Randy. The next generation, our children are the one who are going to pay for our mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Just like
yes,
I paid for the last generation who did the revolution in Iran. I was born after the revolution, but I paid the most price for it.
I can only amen what you just said. We must unite. We must fight. We must do it for the sake of not just us, but for our children, the next generation. And if we don't, this next generation is lost. So very, very well said, Annie. Please tell us how we can connect with you, how we can keep in touch with you, and how we can support you.
Absolutely. The best way, because the social media is taking constantly everything of mine down, is to make sure to go to liveuptofreedom.com. You can subscribe to our website so you're always receiving notification anytime we post a new material. Also, go to YouTube, look up the Glazov Gang, and that is spelled G-L-A-Z-O-V, Gang. That's where you can find all of our videos, including The Unknown, which I hosted. We have Dr. Jamie Glazov, and we have the Glazov Gang. And if anybody likes to support us, again, on our website, liveuptofreedom.com, we have a PayPal donation button that they can go ahead and support us financially.
And that's been very helpful to you with the medical issues you've been going through, and you've been putting out some really awesome products. The T-shirts really got a great line, and I just really encourage you as a listener, please support Annie. We need her voice. She needs your help. She needs your support. Do whatever you can. But Annie, again, you have said it so well, and it's right on. Unite. Stop being divided. We need to be focused on what is at stake here and unite, and we can win this battle, can't we?
Absolutely. I say the moment we decide to come together as Americans, we are going to win this battle.
Amen. I want to thank you, Annie Cyrus, for taking time out of your busy life, praying for your continued healing, everything go well with you, and continue the hard work that you're doing. Thank you so much for being a guest today on The Cross in the Desert.
You know, it's always my pleasure to be here, always and always. And I want to thank you for everything you do for us Iranians. We appreciate it.
It is my pleasure. Well, you heard today Annie Cyrus, and she is a voice crying in the wilderness of division, and she is a strong, strong Iranian-American human rights activist. Really a pleasure to have her on the program today. And she mentioned meeting with Dinesh D'Souza, and wow. He's a man that I just admire so much, because what he says is right. We must unite. We must fight. Our freedoms are so much more important than ourselves, especially for the next generation that will come and listen to what we're talking about. We want that next generation to have a life that is so much better than ours. So thank you so much, Annie Cyrus, from Live Up to Freedom, for blessing us today with all that you have to say. I want to turn our attention now to the last segment in The Cross in the Desert, and it's called The Soundcheck. Today, we have the original amazing music of Scott Stapp and Creed. And welcome to the sound check on the Cross in the Desert. For the next 20 minutes, I want us to hear a band that has Christian roots, and they have amazing lyrics. They are still a band today without Scott Stapp, but yet the original Creed with Scott Stapp is just an amazing, confronting rock sound is the best way I can describe it. I want to begin this portion of the sound check with one of my favorite all-time songs by Creed, and I hope it's yours. This is called My Sacrifice. Here's Creed on the sound check.
We'll be right back.
Scott Stapp, original frontman for Creed and one of my favorite songs, My Sacrifice. We're celebrating the music of Creed today. Here is another favorite of mine, I hope of yours, and this is entitled Faceless Man. On the sound check.
Next time I see them fail. pilgrims go faceless in.
The incredible sound of Scott Stapp in the original Creed here on the sound check. We got one last song. This is called One Last Breath. The amazing, amazing music of Scott Stapp, original lead singer, frontman for Creed. We've been enjoying that this morning on the sound check. I want to spend our remaining time together. I want to talk about this horrible mass execution that happened in Iran just a few days ago of 20 Sunni prisoners. And this is an age-old battle between Sunni and Shia. The discrimination against these people that are not allowed to live in Iran in peace. And it reminds me of the days in 1988 when the mass execution that was buried and secret for so long of the 30,000 political prisoners that Khomeini, one of his last acts while he was alive, had the atrocity of killing over 30,000 political prisoners. In Iran, it's a culture of death. There is no freedom. And my guest, Annie Cyrus, knows oh too well about all of what I'm saying. I have a great friend. Her name is Paymane. She lives in Malaysia. She writes for The Cross in the Desert, and she does such a good job of informing us about the issues, human rights issues in Iran. And I asked her to write on this subject because I knew that she would come up with something very good, and she did, of course. I want to read to you Paymane's latest story, her comments, her feelings, her emotions about this mass execution that happened just a couple of days ago. Paymane writes, there is a Persian tale, Zahak and Kaveh, saying that there was a bloodthirsty ruler who had two snakes on his shoulders where they were kissed by Satan. To avoid snakes eating him, he had to feed them with young people's brains. He ruled as an evil tyrant for years and killed many innocent young people to satisfy the snakes. And through bloodshed and eradicating young people, he would survive sitting on the throne. The term sorbaz, soldier, in Farsi means the one who is ready to lose his head and his life. My soldiers, Parsis, are in the cradles, said Khomeini more than three decades ago. He was absolutely true. Now those babies in cradles are young men and women in their 20s and 30s and are losing their lives either in streets or prisons or on the noose. They are the real Sabazi since they have lost their heads and lives. On Tuesday, the regime announced that their killing machine eradicated more than 20 Kurdish Sunni men in the same morning to satisfy the snakes of the ruler on the throne. The leader of Muslims of the words, notice all Muslims in the world. Only those who went through what the families of these men experienced during those hours can feel their pain and suffering with their whole being, with every cell in their bodies. At around 10 a.m., their helpless families were called to travel from a far state to go to prison for the last visit. On their way to Tehran, they were told not to go to the cemetery. What a hell the families experienced with every phone call. In cemetery, nobody saw the families. All their phone lines were cut, and the final news were that their bodies had been buried. The media says that they were buried before the families arrived, but no accurate news from the families to show if they saw the bodies or not. Nobody could access them. Also, nobody knows of the exact number of hanged men. 30 people were transferred out from their wards for execution. 20 families departed for Kurdistan. The prosecutor in Kurdistan confirmed the death of 10 people, and prisoners saw 8 coffins in the guarantee of prison. What does it all mean? Shall people accept the death of those whom nobody has witnessed and there is no document of it? Are they preparing people for another massacre by testing their reaction to this group killing? That is, if people accept this mass killing and do not oppose it. The regime continues with a very big number of murder of innocents. Is it a reaction to the terrorist attacks in Kabul and Baghdad, a tit-for-tat by the lives of Iranian citizens? Does it show the insolvency of the regime who has lost in the deal with the U.S. since they have continued violating the human rights? Since Khomeini saw after a few months no progress has been observed in the deal yet and hopelessly showed no interest to continue it? This is the question. Why did they not show the victims of the regime to their families? And why did they make it so complicated and horrible for the nation? To scare the nation or to examine them? Are they preparing for a more horrible plan? And what is the duty of the world? To keep quiet and shed tears and light candles again? Or do something more useful? For a Christian, when someone is murdered, opportunity for believing in the Lord is taken from that person. Regardless of nationalities, schools of thoughts, and conflicts, and ideas and performance, we are all human beings ruled by one authority, the governor of all governments, who loves us unconditionally and asks us to love one another. He's asked us to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves and be the voice of oppressed people. What beautiful messages of love. Just imagine if we all listened and submitted to ourselves in love. The world would be filled with his love. And this love would scare the enemies of love and would teach them how to love. Very good, Payment 8. My Iranian Christian friend in Malaysia, writing on behalf of those Sunnis who lost their lives to the evil Iranian regime. She mentioned in there love, and I will follow up by saying this about love. We need a response to radical hate. For the Christian, it's radical love. Radical love is a power that's unstoppable. It is a power that melts the hardest of hearts in the world. There have been reports of even ISIS members throwing down their arms when they've heard the gospel and they've seen the love of Christians. It's because love, love is the answer. We don't excuse their evil. We don't excuse their killing. But the response of love is something that Jesus taught. He told us, taught us, to love our enemies. Now, he's not talking about us as a nation when enemies are attacking that we simply love and don't respond, that we fight back. He's talking about relationships here, Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. In a relationship, in someone that we're acquainted with that becomes our enemy or is our enemy, we are to love, to turn the other cheek, because it's radical love that destroys radical hate. And that is the answer when it comes to the Christian suffering in a totalitarian government, to the Christian suffering in prison. There have been reports of many of the guards in prison, in Evan prison, that have come to faith in Christ because they see this love, this radical love under pressure, this radical love of Christ under extreme circumstances, that is able to forgive, that is able to persevere. This is what Jesus taught. This is what melted the heart of a man named Reza. Reza, who was part of the Revolutionary Guard in Iran, he abandoned his Islamic faith when he saw what his faith was doing to other people. And when he traveled here to the United States, Reza began to read about Jesus. He read the teachings of Jesus. He came across that command to love your enemies, and it was revolutionary to him because in Islam he's told to slay his enemies, to kill the infidel, never to turn the other cheek, never to forgive. When he saw the teaching of Jesus in love and forgiveness, it changed his hardened heart. So what I'm saying to you today is this: the radical love of Christ is the answer to the terrorist and to the evil. They can't cope. They can't comprehend love. They can't understand forgiveness. They don't understand the very basic principles that Jesus taught us. And that's our answer. And this is how we live. And this is how we survive. Radical hate must bow its knee to radical love, because Jesus taught us that, and he demonstrated it when he was dying on the cross. And Jesus prayed to his Father. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't understand what they're doing." So we see not only Jesus teaching about forgiveness, but living forgiveness and dying in our place to forgive our sins, giving those who put him there. Do you know what? Our sins put Jesus on the cross. Our disobedience, our sins put him there. And yet Jesus opens his arms of love to you and me today and invites us to know him personally, to give us a new heart and a new spirit. And he gives us the reason and the hope for living in such a desperate culture that is filled with hatred and revenge. And so I hope that helps you today. If you're in that journey looking for truth, I would recommend coming to Christ, reading what he taught, listening to what he said. And I think at the end of the day, you will agree that the words he spoke are spirit and life transforming. I want to thank Annie Cyrus today for a tremendous interview. I want to thank everyone in the chat room today for a great time. Thank you so much. God bless you. I will see you next Monday on the Cross in the Desert. Have a great weekend. Thank you.
Glory, glory.